What an awesome story. What an awesome story. It's ageless. We never grow tired of hearing it. We never grow tired of seeing it. We never grow tired of learning, understanding, appreciating, and thanking God for what He did for us. That we could never do for ourselves. That little baby, his announcement was the first word from God in over 400 years. From Malachi to Matthew, church, not a word had been heard from God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the generations that felt so hopeless, that felt that God had forsaken them as a people? And you know, sometimes we find ourselves in those same situations. So the message this morning is kind of a teaching message. Last Sunday was the exhorting message. The message today is kind of a teaching message. So take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Ancient but ageless, the story of the birth of Jesus. Those shepherds return praising God and glorifying God and thanking God for everything that was told unto them. If just you and I that are here today responded in that manner to the glorious truth of the birth of our Lord and our Savior, what an impact we would have in a world that seems as if it's spinning out of control. But there's a sovereign God above who has a plan. Don't forget that. Our church family this week has been affected by at least 3 deaths. A number from our church family have been in and out of the hospital and have had surgeries. But God in His sovereignty is still in absolute control. And the story of the birth of His Son reminds us of that hope that is ours. Beyond all that He permits to come into our life that works for our good and for His glory, God is in control. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God, verse 26, unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and pondered in her mind what manner of salutation or greeting this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee. The power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Chapter 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxation was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered or taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. May our Heavenly Father bless the reading of His Word. And will you join me as we pray together, please? Our loving and merciful Heavenly Father, how great and awesome You are. Your name is above all other names. You are God. You're sovereign, You're holy, You're just, You're righteous, You're altogether lovely. You're God of all grace and a God of all glory. You're God of our past, our present, and our future. You're God of our salvation, You're God of our hope. You're God of our peace. You're God of all that You have created. Father, we thank You today. We thank You today for the greatest gift of all, the gift of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who willingly and obediently left the glories of heaven, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, grew and lived among men. For approximately 33 and a half years, Father, He lived the life that You so desire that we live. And because of what He did for us on Calvary's cross that we could not do for ourselves, Father, He took our place and became our substitute, our sacrifice. And then, Father, on that Easter morn, out of the grave He came, and the tomb is empty. And because it is empty, He's seated at Your right hand, and He ever lives to make intercession for us according to Your perfect will and plan for our lives. But not only that, Father, He reminded us that He was going to prepare a place for us, and that if He went and prepared a place for us, He would come again, that where He is, there we may be also. Father, I thank You for that love, that joy, and that peace, and the hope that Christ brings into our hearts and in our lives. I pray, God, today that we will experience anew and afresh that wonderful joy, that love, that peace, and that hope. And I pray, Father, that no one today under the sound of My voice will leave this place without personally knowing in their heart that they are Your child through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for them on Calvary's cross. God, I ask it in the name of Jesus, the strong and the mighty and the awesome name of Jesus. And I pray it so according to your word, as we plead his shed blood and nothing else, as we ask for the forgiveness of all of our sins, in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I want to read a statement to you this morning. The claims and the teachings of Christianity are based on factual evidences and events that actually occurred and have been accurately recorded for us by the Holy Spirit through those who told the stories and those who later wrote them for our admonition. That statement supports the great truth, and it is not more truer nor illustrated more forcefully and finding its fulfillment than in the beautiful story of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we have just read from the Scriptures. Luke so profoundly states that for us in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and then again in Acts chapter 1, Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, wrote the Gospel of Luke, and then he also wrote the Acts for us. Paul in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, says, whatever was written in past were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, Paul again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes these words, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Do you understand this morning that God has validated his word to us? God has validated his word to us according to his divine purpose and his divine plan. It is inerrant, it is infallible, it is truth without any mixture of error. The word of God is validated for you today. And so that places us in a position. That places us in a position where we make a choice. And so we're going to look at some choices that were made today by some of what I call the Christmas story characters. First slide, please. And we're going to see the declaration to Mary and to Joseph, to the innkeeper, to the shepherds, to the wise men, and even to the scribes. I kind of left them out. The declaration. God brought his word in an infallible and in an inerrant way to Mary, to Joseph. The innkeeper has been villainized, and he's a kind of a fictitious character. He's really not named in the Scripture, but let's just say today that you and I can be that innkeeper, and we're going to make a choice with the information that we have and the information that we're given. The shepherds made a choice. The wise men made a choice. The scribes made a choice. What was Mary's choice? Mary's choice said, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. What was Joseph's choice? And if you'd have been in the senior adult Sunday school class this morning, you would have heard an excellent lesson by our teacher on Joseph and his experience with God, and how he had choices that he could have made that could have, in a sense, changed the course of the Christmas story completely. But the Bible says something about Joseph, that he was a just man in Malachi. It says the same thing about Noah, that he was a just man, meaning that he was righteous, meaning that he had a merciful heart. And because of the heart of Mary, because of the heart of Joseph, and even the innkeeper, let's just say today, he offered them the best that he had. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you offering to God, the God of this universe who created you in his image and his likeness and breathed into your nostrils the breath of life? Are you offering him the best? Or are you offering him the leftover? Are you robbing God of that blessing that he wants to bring into your life? Let's look at the shepherds for just a minute. The shepherds had a choice, you see. They had a choice to have listened to the story that was given to them and just stayed with the sheep. But no, they decided they wanted to discover. Listen, when God speaks, you and I have the opportunity to move and to listen and to obey and to follow the instructions that he gives us. Let me ask you a question. How many times has God spoken in your heart through his word and you have failed to follow those instructions? And as a result of that, you missed a blessing. You were robbed of the blessing that God wanted to bring into your heart and into your life. And then there were the wise men who arrived sometimes later. They did not come to the manger. They came to the house where Mary and Joseph and the young child were. They made a choice. They traveled a long journey. It cost them. You see, decisions that you and I make always have consequences. Roma said to me one time, she said, I married you because you can always make a decision. I said, why do you change it then? She said, that's a woman's prerogative. And I am. I'm like that. I can make a decision and I can live with the decision that I make and I can accept the consequences of that decision. And I, like you, have made some, I won't say dumb, but I've made some unwise decisions, okay? How about that? I'll be kind this morning. It's Christmas, okay? I've made some unwise decisions in my life, some decisions that I, as a result of it, I have reaped the consequences. But let's just look for just a minute at this declaration. You see, God deeply cares for and loves lowly people. There was no one any more lowly than the shepherds. Let me explain to you who they were. They were in a field. They were dirty. They were smelly. They actually stunk. They stunk. The song about the Christmas Grinch, you know, the three words about him, stink, stank, stunk. I think about those shepherds. They're around sheep all the time. Did you know they were forbidden to go to the temple? They could not even go into the temple. Yet they were raising the very sheep that were going to be sacrificed in the temple. And the blood of those sheep were going to be shed for the covering of the sins of all mankind. The lowliest of lowliest. I don't know how low you may feel this morning or have felt sometime in your life. But I want you to know God loves you, and I want you to know God cares for you, and I want you to know that no matter what you are facing, and no matter where you are in your walk, in your journey in life today, I want you to know that God loves you, and God deeply cares for you. And the first people that heard the story of the birth of Christ were the shepherds. The shepherds, out in the field with their sheep, doing what they knew to do. You know, God loves and cares for the laboring people too. You know, he does. The very first thing that God gave Adam and Eve was the garden to till and to keep. Amen? You see, God loves the laboring person, the person that's willing to do the menial task. God loves and cares for that person. And maybe you might feel like, well, I'm unimportant. I just do not have a place, and I just do not feel needed. And I want you to know God loves and cares for you, and you have a place, or God would have never created you. Hello? I want you to understand that God deeply cares for you. But I want you to know God loves the learning person. I want you to know that God loves the person that will, listen to me, God loves and cares for the learning person like those wise men. Hello? They had studied, you see, they had understood, and they were prepared. And when the star appeared in the sky, it was all the sign that they needed. And they were willing to spend almost 2 years on a journey across the desert, thousands of miles, to come and to discover a king. Let me tell you something. My father told me growing up, son, anything worth having is worth working for. God loves the laboring person, but God loves the learning person. God also loves the longing person. There was a longing in the heart of the people of that day and that time. Remember, I said at the beginning of the message, it had been 400 years. And God had not spoken. A voice had not been heard from God. The prophets had been silent. And all of a sudden, an angel appears to Mary, and then to Joseph, and then to some shepherds on a hill. God loves the longing person. You're longing in your heart this morning. Maybe you're dealing with circumstances and situations that you just wish would just disappear and go away. And you're longing for God to do something about it. Let me tell you, one day he's going to. He's going to make everything brand new and perfect. I don't know what you're dealing with in your home, in your family, your job, your vocation. I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord. But listen to me. Keep longing. Keep hungering. Keep thirsting. Because listen to me, my God is going to resolve it all. And one day, there will be a place of peace and righteousness and holiness. The lion will lay down with the lamb. The little child will pick up the serpent and play with it. They'll beat their swords and spears into pruning hooks. the world will flourish again as God created it in the beginning. Sin will have been removed. The curse that we talked about last Sunday shall be taken away. Keep longing for it, church. Keep hoping for it. And every Christmas is the promise that God's going to bring it about. In His sovereign will and His sovereign time. Keep looking. Paul writes to Titus and he says, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming again, church. He's coming again. I can almost hear it. Don't look down here on this world. Don't pay attention to the news. Don't even watch the stock market. I lost so much money last week in the stock market. I just, boom. And even before that, when it fell before that, you know, the stock market, I like what Bill Melton said, the stock market is governed by fear. And the constant word in the Christmas story is what? Fear not. Fear not. Keep looking, keep longing, keep laboring, keep learning. Hello, second slide. The declaration. Next slide. The decision of Mary, Joseph, the wise man, the innkeeper. Well, I've already told you, Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. Joseph was not willing to make her a public example. The innkeeper gave what he could. The shepherds came and worshipped and glorified God and left, according to Luke chapter 2, verses 15 and 20. They made noon abroad. The wise men came with the light they were given. They followed the light that they were given. How about you and I this morning? What's going to be our response to that which we know to be true and that which we know to be irrevocable, unchangeable? Next slide, please. I'm going to let you out on time. Last Sunday, I preached 50. How many minutes, Leon? 51. Be thankful you were here last Sunday. The discovery of Mary and Joseph, the innkeeper, the shepherds, the wise men, the scribes. Mary discovered she had been given favor with God. Wow. Mary discovered she'd been given favor with God. God had a plan for Mary's life. God has a plan for your life. And the little boy said, God didn't create any junk, and how true that is. God wants to bless you and I more than we can really understand. He wants to use us. Listen, it's not our ability. It's our availability that Roman reminds me of. Be available to Him. Be open to Him. How many of you, don't raise your hands, have you finished your Christmas shopping? Well, I was trying to sneak around and do some Christmas shopping. Some of our church members saw me, so please don't tell them where I was, where Roma was. But anyway, I every morning when I get up, I pray and I ask God as I get in the truck and I leave the house after I've had my prayer time there. I pray in the truck. I pray for those drivers that I may hit. And I pray, I said, God, today is your day in my life. God, I don't know what you have in plan for me today, but God, I want you to use me some way, somehow, to impact somebody's life for your glory today. And I went into a place of business, and I met this lovely person who just seemed to beam, and I began to talk with her as she waited on me, and she was so patient and so kind with me, and she didn't know she was dealing with a preacher, and as I was talking to her, she began to share her life with me. It happens every day. You see, God wants our availability, not our ability. You see, He'll take your availability. He'll take the lowliest of the lowliest if you'll make yourself available. The first witnesses, listen to me, the first witnesses to the birth of Jesus Christ were what we would call peons today. They would be the people that we would pass on the street and we would bump our nose. God chose the lowliest of the lowliest. Joseph discovered that God was in absolute control and that God was absolutely sovereign and that God had a plan. You know, in every situation where God puts us in a squeeze, church, we come to understand that God has a plan. And we come to understand that God's in control. And we come to understand that God never makes a mistake. And we come to understand that He knows our downsitting and our uprising. He knows our past, our present, and our future. Why not trust Him? Why not give Him your all? He's not going to make a mistake with you. He is in absolute control. He has a wonderful and a marvelous plan. Say, God, reveal it to me. I want to join it. But so often we create our own plans and we ask Him to come over and join our plans. And it flops. And we have an issue when it flops. Y'all know me. I can't teach. I have to preach. The innkeeper discovered God had a plan even where there is no room. Let's stop vilifying the innkeeper. In fact, he's not even mentioned. The innkeeper discovered that God had a plan where there was no room. You see, when God's in control, when God is in control, listen to me, when God is in control, He always makes room in His plan for me and you. Hello? That will make you shout, Baptist. Some of you need a little bit of... The shepherds discovered the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The first ones to discover the Lamb of God that John said, "Behold the Lamb of God," John 1:29, "who takes away the sin of the world." The first ones to discover it were the dirtiest of the dirtiest, the lowest of the lowest. Little boy came up to me one time after a sermon I was preaching at Christmas. He said, "Brother Johnny," he said, "who did they leave their sheep with?" I said, "I don't know. Ask God. I really don't know who they left their sheep with. I'm sure they left them with God." Amen. And that's the only answer I can give. It doesn't tell us. Are you worried about your sheep this morning? See, as long as you're worrying about what you got, you can never receive what God wants to give you. Ooh. Ooh. As long as you're hung up on what you've got, and as long as it controls you, you'll never be able to receive what God wants to give you. Turn loose of it. Trust it to Him. Let it go. The wise men discovered the real star they were longing for. But you know what else they discovered? They found a new way home. Hello? They did. They found a new way home. You never come, listen to me, you never come to Jesus and leave disappointed. You'll never come to Jesus and leave disappointed. Never. Never. Next slide, please. Well, the delight of Mary, Joseph, the innkeeper, the shepherds, the wise men, the scribes. Notice I haven't said anything about the scribes yet. Have you all been following? I haven't said a word about the scribes yet, have I? The delight of Mary, Joseph, the innkeeper, the shepherds, the wise men. Mary delighted so much that she said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Wow. What a worshipful experience she had. The scripture says she kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. When we receive a word from God, what do we do with it? Do we ponder it in our heart? When God speaks to us and we know that He's spoken to us, sometimes He speaks through donkeys, I mean preachers. What do we do with it? When you leave this service this morning, what are you going to do with what you've heard? What did you do with what you heard last Sunday? And the Sunday before, I was here. Mary delighted that her soul did magnify the Lord. She kept all those things in her heart and she pondered them. She pondered them. Pondered, pondered, pondered. It meant that she spent time meditating and thinking about what was said to her. When God speaks to us, He doesn't just speak to us for us to hear it say, okay. And listen to me this morning. The danger in this Christmas story is we've heard it so many times until it will become commonplace in our heart. And we will begin, if we're not careful, the older we become, we will begin to ignore the hidden truths and the nuggets that God wants to give us. I hope I've already given you some takeaways this morning. If you keep holding on to what you've got, listen to me. If you keep holding on to what you've got so strong and not releasing it, you'll never receive. God never takes anything away that He does not have a better plan to work in our hearts and in our lives. Mary pondered. Joseph, he delighted in the providences of God. What did God say to Joseph? I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to use you to protect Jesus. You're going to take him and Mary down into Egypt because Herod's going to desire to kill him. Joseph discovered what it was like, listen to me, to walk with God. There's not a record where Joseph had ever been in Egypt before. He had to go somewhere where he'd never been before. He had to trust God in that journey through life. My friend, you and I are going somewhere we've never been before. We have to trust God that He is sovereign in all things. And the journey that He's given us in this life is not because He's mean or because He just wants to make life miserable for us. The innkeeper delighted in the timely provision of God. Oh, I know he's not there, but He is. Even the innkeeper saw the provision of God. The wise men delighted that their journey was now complete and they were able to worship and present their gifts to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. One day, church, it'll be over. Our journey will have been complete and we'll have the privilege to lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus according to Revelation chapter 4 and 5 and we'll cry out, Thou art holy. Thou art worthy to receive all honor and all majesty and all glory. For by you and for you was everything created that was created. I don't know about you, but I can't wait. And I don't know about you. Listen to me. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm not satisfied with one crown. I want you to understand this morning, if you're saved, if you're blood washed, if you're born again child of God, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to receive the crown of life. But I want you to know there are at least four more mentioned in Scripture that you can receive. Shall I go an empty-handed be to face the one who died for me? Or shall I bring the crowns to his feet and cry out, Thou art worthy, O Lord? Am I willing to pay the price across a sandy desert? 2 years in travel on a journey that I've never been on before? And trust the one who died for me. The shepherd delighted that they had seen those things, and they returned and told the story as it was told unto them. The scribes. How sad. How sad. The wise men arrived to Herod's palace. And when they told the story, Herod became somewhat troubled. And when Herod was troubled, all Jerusalem was troubled. the surrounding area, because he was in charge and he was in control. And he didn't think nothing about putting you to death. Life was not precious to him at all. And he had a devious plan. And so he inquired of those wise men where Jesus was to be born. Those scribes, where Jesus was to be born. You remember the story? In Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. How sad it is, listen, how sad it is to know the scripture and not heed them. How sad it is to know the story and not tell it. How sad it is every year we're free in America to celebrate the story. Yet some of us will go an entire year and never share the gospel with one person. You want to be a scribe or you want to be a shepherd? Well, quickly, what are some takeaways from our story this morning? Number one, God deeply cares for you and loves you. No matter where you are, no matter what's taking place in your life, in your home, in your family, and in your job, God deeply loves for you. And he cares about you. Number two, God has an awesome plan for your life and my life. And he provides his direction for us as we are making the journey. Sometimes all he may give us is a star. Sometimes he may give us the knowledge of his word as the scribes had received. Sometimes it may be almost an angelic voice that speaks to us as it was to the shepherds, to Mary, and to Joseph. But God has an awesome plan for your life and my life. And he provides us with the directions that we need to complete the journey, to discover. I can't wait to get to heaven. How about you? But listen to me. I don't want to be so heavenly minded that I'm not any earthly good because I'm living here right now. There's a job for me to do. There's a job for you to go to. There's a plan that God has for my life and your life. When you leave here today, you're going to make a choice. In fact, you may have already made that choice. Our discovery of his plan leads us to unmistakable and unforgettable life-changing truth. Don't you like to discover something firsthand yourself? Doesn't it take on a freshness in your heart, in your spirit, in your soul when God speaks to you and you know that you've heard from him? Number four, discovering God's plan for my life creates a relationship with him that brings the greatest forgiveness, salvation, joy, peace, and delight for my soul. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Now, my challenge to us this morning is Christmas is, today's the shortest day in the year, by the way. The sun's going to move up over there and it won't be shining through those windows and bothering you that sit over on that side usually. It's going to start moving back this way. Directly it'll be east and west. And we won't have to be concerned about. I know it's important right now. But listen to me. And I'm just using that as an illustration because it's fresh on my mind. If I'm not careful, listen to me. If I'm not careful, I'll get hung up on the way the preacher's tie is. And I'll sit through the whole sermon wishing I could get up there and straighten his tie. Hello? 100 years from now, is it going to matter if my tie is like that or like that? Listen to me. Listen to me. What's important? I will straighten it because I know some of you want to run up here right now and straighten it. I know people that sit in church all Sunday long and they want to send the flowers on the pulpit. Listen to me. It's Christmas. We all have things that, if we're not careful, we'll focus down here and our vision is down here and instead of being up there. Now listen to me. Hear me. Hear my heart this morning. Roma and I were in the car this week, and she said, "Johnny, it's Christmas." And I said, "Well, why can't that fellow up there realize that when the light's green, there's nobody's coming, he can still turn left?" Am I making sense to you this morning? Listen to me. I love you with all my heart. Get your eyes off of what's going on around you and focus on Him. Him. It's about Him and what He did for us that we could not do for ourselves, y'all. Decide to go out these doors this morning. Look for something outside out there. Look for something in somebody. Look for something. Somebody complimented me on my tie this morning. I appreciated that. Before you leave today, grab somebody in this congregation and find something to say positive about them. You may be bald, but you sure got curly hair. Or you may wish you had hair, and I'll pray you do get hair. No, seriously. Seriously. Think about what I'm telling you as I close this message. 100 years from now, most of us are not going to be around. If we're not careful, the tool of Satan. Yesterday, as I was leaving the mall, believe me, I went to the mall. I went to the hospitals yesterday. I did. Friday, the same thing. I did. Now, Roman was with me Friday, I guess it was. I don't know. Roman was with me telling that story. And I decided yesterday afternoon when I put her out to go on to the hospitals, I decided. She said, "Now, Johnny, if you just drive here and you just drive here and you just drive here and you just drive here." And I said, "For one time, I'm going to listen to my wife." You know what I found out? As I went around that mall, just like that, instead of trying to get out in all that traffic that was backed up all the way around in that circle. Now, how many of you were in that traffic all the way around that mall? And you were sitting there, and I just, Guess what? I went around every little one of those in Columbia. I went around, and guess what? I got right down to the end of the line, and some nice lady just let me pull right out, get in the line. You know why? I'm convinced, not because I listened to Roma, because my attitude. God bless my attitude. And I was looking to spend 30 minutes getting out of that mall to get over to Park Ridge to see Miss Lula. And then on over to Lexington to see Miss Helen. And I was out of that mall after dropping Roma off in about 7 minutes time. I'm convinced. My attitude. Okay? It's Christmas. Don't let Him rob you. He'll use traffic. He'll use everything imaginable to rob you of the joy, the love, the peace, and the hope. Everything. I love you with all my heart. I put on my shoes just like you do, and men, I put on my pants just like you do, one leg at a time. I deal with the same things you do. I'm living out there in the midst of it myself, and I want to tell you, I'm not always everywhere I ought to be and everything I ought to be all the time. But I'm trying to decide this Christmas with the Lord's help. I'm not going to let anything bug me. I have pet peeves. Do y'all have pet peeves? Most of my pet peeves are because I drive a lot. And most of my pet peeves are with other drivers. What are your pet peeves? Walk out this door this morning and decide that whatever your pet peeve is, listen to me. 100 years from now, it's not going to matter. What's going to matter is your relationship with that baby that was born in a manger. Let's pray.